You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hardin Baptist Church in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to, you can go ahead and remove your face mask. You don't have to. We just give you the liberty at this point to do what you feel led to do during the preaching of God's word. If you're going to be a big amen or this morning, we ask you to put it back on before you say amen. I'm teasing. Go ahead and be opening your Bible to the book of Acts. We finished the book of James. I've been a little down this week. Wow, I really loved, along with Corey, getting to walk us through the book of James. But this morning, we're going to begin a new sermon series, and it's going to be the book of Acts. The book of Acts. I've been amazed at how many of us as citizens of the United States of America from time to time have just felt like we needed to review what the founding fathers placed into the Constitution concerning our right as citizens. Amen? Well, the reason for this sermon series in the book of Acts is we're not going back to the founding fathers of the United States, but we want to go back to the Bible. Really, really soon, I believe, we're going to get back to a new normal. I don't know about you, but I'm not real excited about rushing back to the old normal. Because if I can be honest with you, there are some things COVID and the restrictions interrupted, but there's a few things in my life that got disrupted. And to be totally honest with you, it was a blessing. A blessing that I didn't realize. I hated it took what it took to get me to see some things that in my life perhaps were not the way they were supposed to be. We're getting back to a new normal. Some of those things that were good in our life that got interrupted, we can't wait to get back to them. But I think there's some things that we were probably doing that we may not need to go back to. Not just as Christians, but as a church. And so what we're going to try to do as we get ready to adjust back to a society without any restrictions, we're not going to focus on the Constitution of the United States. We're going to focus on God's word and try to establish new normals based on what God pictures for us about his church. And we're going to do that, if you're okay with this, from a study of the book of Acts. Now, before we begin, Salisa has discovered a new show on television that she has fallen in love with. And normally what she falls in love with, I have to fall in love with too, because we are one. Amen? I try to be a good head. We have discovered Up TV. I don't know if any of you have Up TV on your TV, but Up TV shows this show called Heartland. And here's the neat thing. Season 14 begins May 6th, this week. However, because Salisa just recently discovered this, we are actually watching season 2. We're on episode 3, which means we've got 5 days to finish season 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, so that we are ready on May 6th for season 14 of Heartland. Now, Salisa saw season 1. I did not see season 1. So there's times when we're watching season 2 together that I have to say, I don't get it. And then she'll say, you missed it because you didn't see season 1. Let me tell you what the producers of the show Heartland do, and a lot of shows do this if they're a continual running show. Have you ever noticed this? When the show first comes on, they show you something you've already seen from a previous episode. Now, generally, it's the episode right before, but sometimes Heartland goes back two or three episodes because whatever they're going to show in this show, they know there's something that's already been showed. And if you saw it, you need to be reminded. But if you didn't see it, you need to see it so that you'll know why the plot is developing the way it is. Does that make sense? That's genius. I think those of you who've been with us at Hardin for a long time understand that Brother Ricky watches a lot of late night TV, and because I do, when we're doing verse by verse studies of God's word, have you ever noticed sometimes in the beginning of the sermon, I will actually review what we said the week before. Depending on how connected what the verses we're talking about this morning, how connected they were to the verses in the previous studies. I didn't just get that from TV. I actually got that from a guy named Luke. Luke, we believe, because early church fathers believe, he wrote the book of Acts after he wrote the book of Luke. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the first five verses of the book of Acts, and here's what's going to happen. We're just going to get a flashback. There's not anything new going to be taught to us this morning in this book that was already not taught in the first book. But here's what's neat. Luke's going to actually write 1,007 verses. But five of them are going to be a flashback to all of the verses that he wrote in the Gospel of Luke. I know the early church didn't put our Bible together in this order, but it would have been so neat if Luke and Acts had been combined. I encourage you sometimes to read the Gospel of Luke, and before reading the Gospel of John or going to another book of the Bible, follow it up with the book of Acts. Because that was Luke's intention. For a man named Theophilus to have a brief history, the known history, of Jesus Christ in his church. From a little bit, a couple of years BC, till about 62 AD. He covers about 65 to 66 years of history. But he's not just writing from a perspective of history. He's weaving theology into his history. Luke not only wanted Theophilus to see Jesus, he wanted the Theophilus to see Jesus' church. And that's what we want to do for the next several months, is to see how Luke presents the church. And then possibly, hopefully, let the book of Acts be our guide as we begin to navigate life post-COVID. And possibly for many of us, not go back to an old normal, but to establish a new normal. Being wise to ascertain what in our life just got interrupted versus what in our life got disrupted and actually needed to be disrupted. Amen. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? Acts chapter 1:1-5. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Father, wow. Father, what a privilege to come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We don't take that lightly. But man, we come boldly. We come boldly because we know that based on the blood of Christ, you rolled out the red carpet for us, welcomed us into your presence as sons and daughters. So we come into your presence calling you Abba, Father. Mindful, humbled, that you both adopted us into your family and you birthed us into your family. Scripture actually uses both metaphors. Thank you, Father, for just the way you welcome us. So, Father, we come before you right now. This is an important part of our life. We pray that for all of us, as we look back and look forward, that we realize COVID interrupted our in-person worship gatherings. But Father, this day is important to us, and it's why those of us that are here, man, we don't like being 6 foot apart. We don't like wearing a face mask. But yeah, we do it out of respect for others. But now that the positivity rate is so low in our community, we thank you that at least for the preaching time, we can take it off. But Father, we're here because we believe it's the first day of a brand new week and we want to be together with your family. And we believe you're going to anoint us, you're going to open our eyes to truth, and that you're actually getting us ready right now for what you're getting ready for us in this coming week. So Father, please anoint me as I get to deliver your word and anoint us as we get to receive your word. You know our heart, you know our prayer, it always is. We don't want to be hearers only, but we want to be doers of your word. And it's in your precious, precious Son's name we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Look how Luke begins the book of Acts. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. The first book. That's the Gospel of Luke. Now, if we could do this just quickly, could you turn back through John to the first four verses of Luke chapter 1? If you don't have your Bible, it's going to appear on the screen. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Luke 1, 1 through 4. I'll turn there. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you've been taught. After giving that introduction to his gospel, he immediately launches into giving us an historical narrative, a historical fact of what God began to do during the days of Herod, king of Judea. And then he begins to mention a certain priest by name, Zechariah, who was from the division of Abijah. This is what Luke is referring to in the book of Acts. In this first book that he wrote, he was writing it to the same man he's writing this book to, Theophilus. The name Theophilus literally means God lover. Many scholars, many pastors, many students of the word therefore believe that because this man's name was Theophilus and his name meant lover of God, that he must already be a Christian. Possibly. Or possibly his mother just wanted to name him lover of God, hoping he would live up to his name. But here's what we know. This man has come under the hearing of the gospel. He could be a high-ranking Roman official. Because in the book of Acts, this title, excellent one, most excellent, is going to be used for Roman rulers, Felix and Festus. But here's what we know. He's come in contact with Luke. Luke's come in contact with him. And Luke is writing to him to give him a historical account so that he can know that the things he's hearing and hopefully the things he's believing and trusting in are true. So here's what Luke reminds him of. Many people have felt led to write an account of the life of Christ. But Luke's letting Theophilus know that he too feels led to do that. And he's letting us know that the basis of his writing, all the information that he's going to put in the book, his sources are eyewitnesses. Some of the eyewitnesses are the people who actually preached God's word and were actually with Jesus during his earthly ministry. And he's been working on this for a while. And he's now confident that everything he's writing to Theophilus is historical and it's true. So when he says in the first book, he's talking about the gospel that he's already written to Theophilus. Now here's what I find amazing. He's now going to review that book. Now I want you to remember this. The producers of Heartland, when they do that flashback in about 30 seconds and they show about five scenes real quick, they're only doing that for one reason. They're taking us back because what they're taking us back to is tied to what they're going to reveal in this next episode. They're not just killing time. They're not just introducing a story. There's a motivation. There's a purpose. It's significant. I believe we need to slow down just a little bit because these things Luke mentions in the life of Christ, we're going to see in the life of the church. Does that make sense? Has this dawned on any of us lately? We are Christians. That should not mean to any of us only that when we die, we're going to heaven and we won't go to hell. What that means is in every moment of our life, in every relationship that we have, our life should mirror the life of Christ. If I can just be blunt honest, I think the pandemic has revealed to many of us some things that were in us that were not like Christ. There's been times it's just come out. As Christians, we praise God. We've been blessed with the gift of living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. But loyalty to God and His Word and to His Son is our first loyalty. We are Christians who God has placed in America to bear the image of His Son for others. This pandemic is not over, even though in our area we are blessed. It subsided to the point that only one or two a day are contacting the virus. Hardly anybody in the hospital, hardly anyone dying now from the virus. But that's not true around the world. Listen to me. Luke says in the first book, I dealt with all that Jesus. He didn't say did and taught until He ascended. Look at it. All that He began to do and teach. Does anybody find that odd? If I'm reading this right, on the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, Luke's telling us in the gospel that Jesus began to do certain things and He began to teach certain things. And He did this, the beginning of them, until His ascension. If I was writing a book about somebody and all that they had already done while they was here on the earth, I would not talk like this. I would put it in past tense. What's Luke telling us? Why is he flashing back to the things Jesus began to do and teach? Because he's still doing them. He's just doing it through you. And he's doing it through me. He's doing it through us. Jesus isn't finished showing himself to the world. He showed himself to the world through a body in the Gospels, and he's showing himself to the world through a body in the book of Acts. We're his body. You and I are a part of his body. And we're to feel the weight of this. Every conversation. Husband, wife, child, parent, friend, church member, non-church member, known, unknown. In that situation, we should desire to do what Christ did. Can I just ask you a question? Do you think during the pandemic Jesus would have acted the way you acted? In every situation. I hope you can say yes. Because this pandemic's coming to an end in our area soon, most likely. Here's the question. Will we do what Jesus did? See, there's debate over this book. It's the book of Acts, but some call it the Acts of the Apostles. Some will call it the Acts of the Church. Some will call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I don't have the right to put a title on a book that's in God's Word. But if I'm understanding what Luke's trying to say here, Luke believes the book of Acts is still about the Acts of Jesus. Except his acts are being acted out in your life and my life. We represent him. That's what we're going to learn from this book. Not just what he began to do. And man, if you go back and read the book of Luke, he did a lot of neat things. But he emphasized and what he began to teach. Jesus began to teach some things that when he ascended back to the Father's right hand side, those teachings of his didn't stop. And those are the teachings that we're still teaching today. Now, I just want to prepare you for this. As we begin to live in a society that becomes more and more godless, more and more Christless, we, the church, are going to teach some things that's not going to be popular. But we can't compromise. But in teaching the things that we must teach them as Christ taught them. From a heart of compassion and a heart of concern. A heart of hopefully wanting those who are rejecting his teachings to come to a place to understand and repent and come to know him in a personal way. That's what we're going to see in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is going to be dominated by sermons. We're going to hear sermons from Peter. We're going to hear sermons from Stephen. We're going to hear Stephen. We're going to hear sermons from Paul. And then we're going to hear some wisdom from the world that you and I are not going to feel like is too wise. But they're going to be examples to us to let us see how God intended for his church to react when they're being persecuted, when their rights have been taken away, and when people just outright believe differently than the early church believed. Why are we going to see this? Not for a historical narrative, but so that you and I as the church at Hardin can be encouraged to know that every morning when we get up, we get to life out the acts of Christ and we get to life out the very teachings of Jesus to others. Wow. You see what I'm seeing here? That little word began is so vitally important. He did it until his ascension. He was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I think there's a sense in which we can go back through the Gospel of Luke and see a lot of commands that Jesus commanded his apostles. But it just seems like to me, as the Gospel of Luke comes to an end and the book of Acts begins, that Luke is reminding us of those last commands that Jesus gave the church. Commands he gave from his resurrection to his ascension. Those last things he taught the church. Matthew kind of summarized them this way. Jesus said to his church, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he says, "As you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things that I've commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You've heard me say this before. I know you know this. When we look at this, there's only one verb in that command. And that's to make disciples. All those other action words are participles. If you're like me, you love participles, because participles are verbal modifiers. They describe the action of the sentence. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be encouraging them in the relationship with him to be a follower. These verbal modifiers, they tell us, how do we do that? How do we do that? We do that as we're going. So many of us have misunderstood this in the church to mean I'm supposed to get up and go somewhere. Well, you might be supposed to get up and go somewhere. But the point is, as you're going, in your daily life, as you're just walking about, you know what we're supposed to be about? Making disciples. We're supposed to baptize. Identify those who become followers of Christ with Christ in believer's baptism. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's their identity marker. And then they're supposed to be taught all things, not just some things. And then Jesus has promised us, as we, the church, are engaged in keeping this great commission, this great command, he's going to be with always, even to the end of the age. So see, there was the early church that was with him at the beginning of the church age. Those of us who are in this age, maybe closer to the end of the church age. Guess what? Christ is still with us at Hardin today, just as he walked with that first church in Jerusalem. Because his purpose wasn't for the gospel just to go to Jerusalem and to Rome and all points in between, but to break outside of Rome and eventually come to the United States of America and a little place called Hardin. So God had us on his mind. Is that not just amazing? Now Luke says it this way in Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. He talks about how Jesus, at the end, after the resurrection, actually opened up the scriptures and pointed out all the places in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms that prophesied about him. And particularly that he should suffer and rise again. And watch this. And repentance should be preached. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be preached to all the nations. That's the command, that we take the gospel to everybody. Everybody. We can't just be concerned with those who live in our family and those who live next to our family and those whom we associate with. We must have a heart for the peoples of all the nations. Now watch this. This is so important. He gave the commands through the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure you understand this. Jesus Christ was the perfect man. Amen? But here's what Luke tells us throughout the gospel. The perfect man did what he did, taught what he taught, under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. Now, can I just ask you this question? If Jesus did what he did under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit and by God's Holy Spirit and through God's Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I, imperfect men, need to be under the control of God's Holy Spirit? How dare we do something in the flesh? Can I speak to those who are older for just a moment? Especially those of us who are female. Do any of you females ever remember when you would get ready and then you would ask your husband, is my slip showing? You wanted that slip that was under your dress not to show. Some of us need to ask ourselves this question. Does our flesh show? The book of Acts is written to get us as a church to understand we can't do what we do by earthly means. We can't do what we do in the flesh. But just as Jesus did what he did through the Holy Spirit, you and I, the church, must do what we do through the Holy Spirit as well. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not just talking about a church when we all get together. We're talking about each one of us as a body part of the church, wherever we're at during the week, in whatever relationship we're in, of us making sure our flesh doesn't show, and what shows is the Spirit of God in our lives. If you go back to the Gospel of Luke, Luke lets us know in the beginning, Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit. At his baptism, Spirit of God descended on him. The next encounter after he's baptized, Luke says, Jesus being full of the Spirit. Then the Bible's going to tell us that the Spirit hurls Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. And during those 40 days in the wilderness, he's going to be tempted by Satan. Jesus is going to go into Galilee and he's going to go into synagogue. That's going to be his custom. He's always going to gather with God's people. So he's going to go into the synagogue. And when it comes his time, he's going to take the scroll and he's going to read. And then when he puts that scroll back down, he's going to say, today this has been fulfilled in your ears. And the verse he read was Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord has appointed me. And then he names what the Spirit of the Lord has appointed him to do. And in Jesus' ministry, he will do all those things. Some of us are so longing to get back to life without a mask and where we don't have to social distance and we don't have to wash our hands after we shake someone's hand. And we don't have to wait outside to get into a building because the building said it can only occupy two. We're longing for that. But we're going to study the book of Acts because we want you to long for something else. And that's for the Spirit of God who birthed you. The Spirit of God who took up residence in your life. To be in full control of us. During every moment of every day. For the rest of our lives. So that we can do what Jesus did and teach and stand for what Jesus stood for. Because we recognize we are his body. And what he began to do, he's still doing. He's just doing it through us. Notice what Luke says. Through the Holy Spirit to those men who he had chosen. Luke didn't have to say that. Why does Luke do that? I think as Luke came under the teaching of Paul, we know that Luke was with Paul later in life, even when he was there under house arrest in Rome. Heard this man preach to Roman soldiers that he was chained to. Heard this man preach the word of God. Here's what he knew, and he wanted God's people to know. God didn't have to save you. The primary reason you're in God's church is because God has made a choice of you. He chose you. Just as he chose those apostles, he wants you and I to be a part of his body. What a privilege to know that. And then Luke talks about his 40 days after his resurrection of how he presented himself alive with many proofs. Well, that changed everything. It changed the life of those three ladies that went to the tomb that morning. It changed the life of Mary Magdalene who went to the tomb. It changed the life of Peter. It changed the life of those 11. First those 10, one of them wasn't there. Then he appeared to all 11. Then he appeared to 7 who went fishing. Then he appeared back to the 11. Then he appeared to 500. Then to James. Aren't you glad he appeared to James? And then to the 11 again. Why? He wanted them to know he wasn't dead, he is alive. Why is this important? Why in 5 verses that's going to introduce the next 1,002 verses, why is that important? Here's the flashback. Jesus is alive and we are too. I don't believe there was any doubt that Jesus Christ got up out of the tomb and walked on the earth and was alive. Amen? But listen to what Luke says. He proved it many times. Here's what the book of Acts is going to be about. It's going to be about you and me proving that we ain't dead. Excuse the English. But we're alive from the dead. And just as Jesus proved it to his apostles and he proved it to those he appeared to, you and I are to have that same sense. A compulsion to want to let people know I am not spiritually dead. If you don't believe my profession, just look at my life. Because my life ought to prove to you that I am alive to God and dead to sin. Wow. Many appearances. And look what he did during the 40 days. Now, I don't know if this is important or not. But before Jesus began his public ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. We have the term 40 days used a lot in the Old Testament for some significant events. That 40 day was kind of a time of testing, was a time of preparation. I want you to catch this. As Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness getting ready for his ministry, even though he's taught his disciples for 3 years after his resurrection, he spent 40 more days with them. Why is this significant? Because Luke's trying to tell the church, we are ready to do what God's called us to do. Wow. He taught them about the kingdom. Taught them about the kingdom of God. After 3 years and after 40 days, they still struggled. Just like some of us still struggle with the kingdom of God. They had such a background of Judaism, they had so read their Old Testament that they was looking to a territorial domination to where the Messiah ruled physically. And yet Jesus had been teaching and continued to teach that the kingdom of God is not a territorial rule. Kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the hearts and lives of people. His people. Before there will ever be a physical aspect of the kingdom, there must be that spiritual aspect of the kingdom, and you must enter the kingdom. The way you can enter it is by being born again. And as you're born again, God takes up rule in your heart and in your life, and he begins to reign over you, and he reigns over me. He reigns over us. Man, Jesus taught us something real important during the Gospels. He taught us during the Gospels that if he's casting out demons by, again, the Spirit, then what does that mean? It means that the kingdom of God is in the midst of us. And then went on to say, if he's casting out demons by the Spirit of God, what that means is if you're going to cast out demons, if there is a Satan, he's got to be bound first. Because if you're going to break into somebody's house and rob him of his contents, you got to first deal with the strong man, right? If you're going to break into my house, you got to deal with me first. What's Jesus teaching? He's dealt with Satan. He's been defeated. And so he teaches the church during those 40 days about the kingdom so that they will know we're in the kingdom age, we're in the church age, and Satan's been defeated. He's bound to where he cannot deceive the nations anymore, so we can do what God's called us to do, and that's confidently laugh out the gospel and lip out the gospel to all the nations. And then so he encourages us with. He said, and you've heard me say this. As John baptized with water, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I still remember March 24th, 1974, getting saved, and then 2 weeks later going to Flint Baptist Church and getting baptized in water. Can't tell you how excited I was as a 13-year-old kid to let everybody there know. My faith was in Jesus Christ. And that was my identity marker. But yet, there's another baptism. That's not just water, but there's a baptism with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Get this picture. To be baptized means to be immersed. It means to be plunged. It means to be dipped. So just imagine you being dipped in water. But greater than that, imagine this. You've been dipped in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You are immersed in him. You are plunged into him. He influences every ounce of your being. They've been given this command to go out into the world. But Jesus is going to say, hey, hold up, don't go yet. Wait till you get what I've promised you. What I've promised you is the promise of the Father that when I get back to his right-hand side, we will send to you the Holy Spirit and you will be immersed in him and you'll receive power, you'll be clothed with power and you'll be my witnesses. See, you understand this, right? The resurrection gave validity to the death of Christ. But it's the ascension that gave validity to the resurrection. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God in us reveals to the world that Jesus is who he says he is. Because there's nothing that can account for the transformation in our lives other than we've been born of God and we're part of the kingdom of God. We're under the rule and reign of God. I pray that during this crisis of COVID, this pandemic, the Church of Jesus Christ never arose to fleshly means. We never let our flesh show. But what people saw and are continuing to see is the Spirit of God in our life. And that hopefully by seeing that, many will come to know Jesus as we know. My wife, because she knows she's cold nature, takes a coat or a blanket with her every place she goes. And she just knows when to put that blanket on, put that coat on. That's Luke's picture. Jesus says, I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to coat you with my Spirit. Can you sense him? Can you feel him? Well, let me ask you this way. Can you tell when he's not clothing you? Because you're cold? Rather than warm with his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the flashback. But the flashback is to get us ready to see Jesus in action through his empowered witnesses. And that's us. Get us ready as a church to establish a new normal. Help us begin to understand what got interrupted and what got disrupted. Help us let go of what needed to be let go of. But help us build back stronger those things that just got interrupted. Help us be your body this week. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.